We'd like to dedicate this shiur Le'ili Nishmas Uri Lippa Ben Nissen, whose yahrzeit will be on Yud Ches Tevis, and also to my late father-in-law, whose yahrzeit is Tes Zayin Tevis Aryeh Ben Yamin Zev, Wurzburger. We're going to discuss the fast of Asar B'Tevis, which was last Friday. And although we've passed this fast, but the lesson from Asar B'Tevis we can take with us throughout the year. Rav Schlesinger began with the slichas that we say Asar B'Tevis, and there are three slichos that are said. And in the first slichas, it says the following: B'shalosh makas b'chodesh hazeh hikani. The Python, the one who composed this slicha, says that in this month of Tevis, you hit me three times. The first time b'shmoyne boy on the 8th. In other words, we keep the tinus of Asar B'Tevis on the 10th of Tevis. But actually, there are 3 days in a row where bad things happen to Klal Yisrael. And that is Ches, Tes, and Yud. On the 8th of Tevis, and the Python goes on to say, Haloi shloshed on kavati tinus. All three of these days, I made a tinus. Not a person can't fast 3 days in a row. So we made it on the last day on Asar B'Tevis, which was the greatest tragedy, where we're going to learn the walls of Yerushalayim were surrounded by the king of Bavel, by Nebuchadnezzar. But what happened on the 8th day of Tevis? Melech Yavan in Isani Lichtoiv Das Ivanis. This refers to Talmai HaMelech, who forced the Jewish people to translate the Torah into Greek. This is known as the Targum HaShivim. There were 70 of the Zakenim, the elders, the Talmid Chacham of Klal Yisrael. Each one was locked in a different room, and their job was they had to translate the Torah into Greek. And everyone thought that they're going to come with 70 different translations. And meanwhile, Hashem gave them Ruach HaKodesh, that everyone translated it the exact same way. They made certain changes. Instead of Bereshis Bor Elikim, they made Elikim Bor Bereshis, because the king shouldn't think that Bereshis, Chas Hashem, created God. So they all had the same machshava. But this day was considered a terrible tragedy to the Jewish people. Why? Because the fact that Torah was now translated into Greek, and people would think that this is the real Torah. The truth is, when you translate Torah into a different language, you're losing so much of the Torah, because every letter of the Torah teaches us if there's an extra yud, an extra vav, which this is something that can't be translated into another language. So when the Torah is translated, it's considered a very dark day in the world that Torah was translated to Greek. So this is the first makkah. This is the first slap that we received in the month of Tevis, which was on the 8th day of Tevis. The second makkah was on the 9th day of Tevis. What happened on the 9th day of Tevis? So the Python goes on to say, Toroif Toiraf boy Hanoisen Imre Shefer who Ezra Sofer. We had a great leader of the Jewish people called Ezra. He came back from Golus Bavel, and he retaught the Torah to Klal Yisrael. In the 70 years of Golus Bavel, between Churban Bayis Rishon and Churban Bayis Sheni, the Jews sank very low, and they forgot much of the Torah. And Ezra had to reteach the Torah to Klal Yisrael. And he was nifter on the 9th day of Tevis. So this is the second makkah. And then came the third makkah, which is Asar B'Tevis. What happened on Asar B'Tevis? So the Python says, Yom Asiri, on the 10th of Tevis, Tsuva ben Buzi Hachoze, the Navi ben Buzi, this refers to Yecheskel ben Buzi, the Navi, the prophet, He was commanded by Hashem. What was he commanded? It says there in the Paitan, Ksav lecha b'sefer hamachze, write in the book of prophecy, as etzem hayoyim azed, this very day. Now, what this is referring to is a pasuk in Yecheskel, Perek Chav Dalet, pasuk Beis, where Hashem speaks to Yecheskel, and the title that Yecheskel has is Ben Adam. That's how Yecheskel Anavi is referred to, son of man, Ben Adam. What did Hashem tell Yecheskel? Ksav lecha eshem hayoyim azeh, write the name of this day, as etzem hayoyim azeh, this very day. What happened? Samach Melech Bavel El Yerushalayim. Be'etzem Hayoyim Azeh. Melech Bavel surrounded the walls of Yerushalayim on this very day. Now, it took 3 years for the walls to be broken in. When were they broken in? It would seem it was broken in. We'll speak about this a little later. Shiva Asur B'Tamaz, and then eventually on Tisha B'Av, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So the question that Rav Schlesinger asked is, but this is not mentioned by this Python. All he says is that Yecheskel was told to write down these words, Etzem Hayom Azeh, this very day. And we'll soon see the significance of these words, this very day. But the whole story that took place is missing. Later on in the third Slichus, it says, you know what happened? Samach Melech Bavel Vitzor Al Ir HaKodesh. There, the one who wrote the third Slichus on Asar B'Tevis mentions exactly what happened, that the king of Bavel surrounded Yerushalayim. But the first writer, totally ignores what happened. He doesn't mention it. He just says, which is true, that Hashem told Yecheskel to write down this very day that this tragedy happens, but he misses out what the tragedy is. Why doesn't he mention the tragedy? This is the first question that Rav Schlesinger asked. The second point that he dwelled on is the Beis Yosef brings a famous Avud Ram in Siman Tuf Kuf Nun, and he says the following quote: Asara B'Tevis hu mishunna mishar taniyos. Asara B'Tevis is different than any of the other fast days. She'im hoya chal b'Shabbos. If Asara B'Tevis would come out on Shabbos, loy hoyu yuchaylun l'tchoysa l'yoyim acher. We would not be able to push away Asar B'Tevis on another day. We would have to fast on Shabbos. That's by no other. It never happened. So that's Rav Schlesinger's question is, if it never happened, since they made the calendar, it never happened and never will happen. But if so, why does Avud Ram mention it? Why are you mentioning a theoretical thing? If it would come out on Shabbos, you'd have to fast on Shabbos. Now, by the way, Avud Ram says, where do I know this from? Because since it says in Yecheskel, the pasuk we just mentioned, es etzem hayoyim azeh, this very day, and in fact, by Yom Kippur, it also uses that expression, es etzem hayoyim azeh. Now, if Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, there you do fast. There you fast, of course, on Yom Kippur, even though it's Shabbos. You push away Onek Shabbos. But he's saying, it seems like he's making a gzeira shava. A gzeira shava means that if I have one word by one thing and the same word I find by a different din in the Torah, so whatever the halach is by the first thing, the same halach applies to the second. But by the way, a person's not allowed to make up his own gzeira shava. It's only if you receive this from Moshe Kibbutz Torah Sinai and he gave it over to Yeshua and Yeshua gave it further and further. But you can't come along and say, oh, I see two words that are the same. I'll make my own Gzeira Shava. So the Beis Yosef asks on the Avud Ram, where did you get this Gzeira Shava? Is not mentioned anywhere in the Gemara. So how do you make up like your own Gzeira Shava? That's one problem. And the second problem, which we mentioned before, Rav Schlesinger is asking, why mention a theoretical thing when it never takes place? According to our calendar, Asar B'Tevis can never fall on Shabbos. What is interesting about Asar B'Tevis is that if it falls out on Friday, like it did this year, then we do fast on Friday. And we come into Shabbos fasting. You're not supposed to eat until you make Kiddush. So like for the first hour of Shabbos, it comes out that you're fasting. So that's true. But that has nothing to do with what the Avudram is saying much more. Avudram is saying you would fast the whole Shabbos if Asar B'Tavis would come out on Shabbos. So this is the second point that we're going to focus on. Now, the simple pshat in the Pasuk in Yecheskel, when Hashem told Yecheskel to write down Shem HaYoyim HaZeh and Etzem HaYoyim HaZeh, we're going to see various interpretations of what this means. Write down the name of this day and write down this very day. What exactly does that mean? We'll see in a moment. But the Reduk says Pashut Pshat, not a deep shot, is the following. Yecheskel didn't live in Eretz Yisrael. Yecheskel and Navi lived in Bavel. So, and they didn't have blackberries in those days. That you could find out the second that Eretz Yisrael or Yerushalayim was surrounded by Melech Bavel, they would know about it in Bavel. There is no way to know. And yet, Hashem said, Yecheskel, I'm telling you the day and the month exactly when Nebuchadnezzar is surrounding the city of Yerushalayim. And that day is the 10th of Tevis. Write it down, show it to people, and later on when you'll meet Jews who came from Yerushalayim, who were there when it was surrounded, and you'll ask them, when was it surrounded? They'll tell you, Asar B'Tevis. Look, Yecheskel already wrote it down before. How did he know that? He knew it through prophecy, through Nevuah. The Reduk says that why did Hashem command Yecheskel to do it? Because at that time, many Jews stopped believing in prophecy. So this was a way to strengthen the prophecy of Nevuah of Yecheskel to show everyone, look, the only way that he could know this is by prophecy. And look, he wrote it down. It took months till we found out about it in Yerushalayim. In Bavel, what happened in Yerushalayim, and he already knew about it because of Nevuah. That's the simple pshat of what Hashem told Yecheskel to do. Now, the Rabbi Schlesinger made this is his own observation, that there is no sefer, he said, that speaks about Asar B'Tevis to the depth as much as the Chasam Sofer. All the other swarm, in fact, don't speak much about these days, Ches, Tes, and Yud Tevis, as much as the Chasam Sofer. And the Chasam Sofer goes into it in a very deep way, as we'll soon see in a moment. One of the things, the famous things that the Chasam Sofer tells us about Asar B'Tevis is that every year, just like we have Yom Kippur, we're judged what's going to happen to us in the next year. On Asar B'Tevis, we're judged, will we have a Tisha B'Av this year or not? The decision, what does that depend on? Will Mashiach come? If Mashiach comes, then Tisha B'Av is going to become a Yom Tov. So the decision whether we're going to have a fast day on Tisha B'Av or a holiday, a Yom Tov, that is decided every day, every year on Asar B'Tevis. And that's why it's so strong, Asar B'Tevis, by any other fast day, if it comes out on Friday, we fast. Let's say if Tainus Esther comes on Friday, so we do it on Thursday. If it comes out on Shabbos, we do the fast on a Sunday. We never fast on a Friday. But since Asar B'Tevis is like a day of judgment concerning what? Concerning the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash, will it be rebuilt? Will we have a Tisha B'Av of destruction or a Tisha B'Av of a Yom Tov? That's why you celebrate Asar B'Tevis on Be'etzem HaYoyim HaZeh, on this very day, whenever it falls out. And Avudram told us, even if it would come out on Shabbos, you would have to fast on Shabbos itself. So now, the Chasam Sofer says a very deep thing. This is found in the Drashos Chasam Sofer on Amud Kuf Aleph. And he says the following. Vehine haposkim eviu b'shem Avudram. The poskim, the halachic codifiers, have brought in the name of the Avudram. Midich sevis etzem ayom hazeh, since the posuk says, this very day, shma mina, from this we learn. Im hoya ro'i asar b'tevis lochel b'shabbos, if it would be possible that the calendar would allow that a Asara B'Teves would come out on Shabbos, Hayadoicha Shabbos, it would push away Shabbos. You'd have to fast. Yaiser Mishari Taniyas, more than any other Tanis, except Yom Kippur. But the regular Yom Kippur is Minatorah. Tisha B'Av and all these other Tanaisim are not from the Torah. But, so, so what's the reason? How does Asara B'Teves have the power to push away Shabbos? So he says a beautiful thing. And the name of this year we gave is How Yerushalayim Got Its Name. So the Chassam Sofer says, Ki adu alanu, we know, she Yerushalayim hu mitzurif mishnei shemes. Yerushalayim is made up of two names. Shavram avinu, by Akedah Yitzchak Avram avinu, kara yira, bahar Hashem yeroa. That in the Har Hashem, we would fear Hashem in the Har Habayis, where the Beis HaMikdash was built. So the word Yerushalayim has Yira. Malchei Tzedek was the king of Yerushalayim. But what was Yerushalayim called in his time? Melech Sholem. So we have these two names, Yeroeh and Sholem. Va'asu teva achas. They made from the two words one word. The name is Yerushalayim. Now we have a problem, though, because it should be Yeroeh Sholem. If you're merging the two words together, you should have Yeroeh, which Avram called it, and Sholem, which we find by Malkei Tzedek. Yet instead of an aleph and a hey, what do we have? A vav. And instead of Sholem, it's Sholayim, Yud, right? So the Chassam Sofer explains that the Ois Vav is instead of the Aleph Hay. They made from the Aleph Hay, Aleph and Hay together is six. So they made Yud Resh. It should have been Aleph Hay. Now it's Vav, Yeru. Now we go to the end of the word, Sholayim. So there's a yud there, but this is something that I never knew until this week. Maybe some of you knew it, but not me. And that is, and I looked in the art scroll, wherever I looked, this happened. I think it's only according to certain Mesoras. The word Yerushalayim does not appear with a second yud. The first yud, yud resh, vav shin, lamid, and the mem. You look through. At least I looked in the art scroll Tanakh, wherever I looked in the Concordancia to look up. I didn't look. I got the Concordancia has it without a second yud, and I started checking, and it's not there. The Chirik is there. The yud is missing. It's an unbelievable thing. Yud Resh Vav Shin Lamid. The yud is missing. The Chirik under the yud is there, and then you have the endomem. So the yud is called a kri and not a ksiv. It's not written, but it's read. So who put that yud in? And first of all, why is the yud invisible? If it's there, you read it, but you don't. Why isn't it written? So the Chassam Sofer explains: the one who put the yud in is Yaakov Avinu. Now is going to be the basis of this whole cheer. There is a Kabbalistic concept which is called Yud B'toich Yud. The letter Yud is spelled out, when you spell out the whole word, is spelled Yud Vav Dalid. Vav Dalid, 6 and 4, is also Yud, is 10. So there's a holiness to Yerushalayim that the Yud is Yud B'toich Yud. You have a 10 within a 10. It's like it's Yud squared. It's yud times yud. So v'zeh nikra b'sifrei sisrei Torah, in the books that have the secrets of the Torah, this is called, says the Chassam Sofer, yud b'toich yud. Hamilui shel yud nami yud. The milui means when you fill out the letter. Every letter in the aleph beis, aleph is when you fill it out. It's aleph, lamed, and the fei. Beis is beis, yud tof. When you write out the whole letter, how it sounds, then, so by yud, when you write it out, it's yud vav dalet. There's a vav dalet, there's a yud within a yud. Says the Chassam Sofer, vehu nekuda ktana, it's a very small pintala, a very small dot, this yud, it's the smallest of all the letters, but kedusha gedoylo gevoya, it's a very high holiness. Ad shenageya bekeser elyon. This holiness of this yud reaches up to the highest crown of Hashem. Vizeo sod she'enanu mavinim. It's a secret which we don't understand. The Chasam Sofer said he doesn't understand it, so for sure we don't understand it. But at least we can say the words and just get in a little idea of what we're talking about. Now, Yaakov kivan lezeh. Yaakov came up with this yud squared, yud betoich yud. But Omroi, when he said, whatever Hashem gives me, what will I do? Aser asrenu loch. I will give you, the simple is 2/10. I'll give you 1/5 of whatever you give me, I give to charity. That's what we're supposed to do. But he expressed it, 1/10 of 1/10. Shel inyan, ki ikra kedusha hu meiser min ha-meiser. The main holiness of the Jewish people is 10 of 10. What do we do? When you have 100 bushels of wheat, you have to give meiser to the Levi, that's 1/10. And the Levi gives trumas meiser, he gives 1/10 of 1/10 to the kohen. First you give truma. Truma you can give minatora, you're allowed to give one little piece of wheat, and that frees you from the whole field. But then meiser, you give 1/10, and from the meiser, you give trumas meiser, 1/10 of 1/10. So what comes out? Shemimeya from 100, yagia tzadik li Yisrael. How much does the Jewish farmer keep of the 100? He keeps 90. Yud l'levi, 10 goes to the levi. Ve'echod, kodesh l'kayin. One holy part goes to the kayin. Ve'chein, b'chol b'chines kedushas meya brachas. We're supposed to say 100 blessings a day. Yagia tzadik loyla matachton. There's 3 worlds, according to the Chasam Sofer. There's the lowest world that we live in. There's a middle world called Olam HaTichon. And then there's the Olam HaElyon, the highest world. So on the lowest world, 90 parts are kept. In the middle world, you get 10. And 1 b'Olam HaElyon. So that's why Yaakov said, Aster asrenaloch, shehu b'chinas beiz mine meiser, shehu meiser mina meiser, v'yidei kein himshich kedushas yud elyon el Yerushalayim. So through this 10-10, which Yaakov mentioned, he was able to bring down the holiness of the yud, the second yud of Yerushalayim. And it's so holy, it's a small little letter, but it's so holy that you can't write it. It's not able to be written down. Ve'ein makom l'kedusha zu lichtov rach likrois. You can only say it verbally, but you cannot put it on parchment. And that's why when the Shechina went away from Yerushalayim, b'chsilik ha-Shechina mi-Migdashen, and from the Beis HaMikdash, it says, Eser masois nasa Shechina. When the Shechina left, it took 10 trips to leave in 10 stages, the Shechina went away from the Beis HaMikdash. And Ukenegdon, it says, Gols to Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin took 10 cities that they went from city to city as they left. They used to be in the Beis HaMikdash. And then they had to leave in 10 different travels. That was to reflect that the Shechina is leaving. That was also this number 10 times 10. Ulechein. Now, which day of the year is the Yom Din of the Beis HaMikdash getting destroyed? That's 10, the 10th of Tevis. Tevis is the 10th month of the year. Ulechein, ain't shum yoim sheroy lichorv by Migdashen urak asiri b'chodesh asiri. The day, when Melech Bavel surrounded the city of Yerushalayim, he was attacking that 10 times 10. So what day was he successful to attack it? He was successful on the 10th day of the 10th month. Shezeh hepuch yud b'toch yud ha-kedusha. Because that day is the very opposite of the 10, the yud b'soch yud, the yud within the yud of holiness. So what the Chasam Sofer is telling us over here is, that we know that there are powers of evil in the world that fight the powers of good. So just like in good, the highest level is Yud Betoch Yud, which is the second Yud in Yerushalayim, which you can't even write on a paper. You can't write it on a parchment. It's only something you could verbally say because it's so holy you can't even put it down on a parchment. Against that was the day, 10th day of Teves. And now the Chasam Sofer says that there are other things where one is the opposite of the other. One of the Sefer Yetzirah Ksiv, Ein L'mayla Mi'oneg, the greatest spiritual level is Oneg, which we have Oneg Shabbos. Ve'ein L'mata, the lowest level, is Nega. You take the same letters, Ayin Nun Gimel, flip it around, and you get Nun Gimel Ayin. That's the pits. That's the lowest. Okay? And other Svarim say, Ein L'mayla Mikeser. There's no, this we said before, this little Yud is able to reach in holiness up to the crown, the Keser, the crown. The Ein L'mata, there's nothing lower, Mikores. The same letters, Chaf, Tuf, Resh, you flip it around, it's Chaf, Resh, Tuf. Tia Oinek, who am a Kurdish B'yaiser. Oneg is the holiest. The Karas L'Shabbos Oinek. Shetazmin L'Shabbos, Sheyikadesh B'Kedushas Oneg. That Shabbos should become holy with the holiness of Oneg. The Nega, Lehepach B'Madregas Hatachtan. The opposite is Nega. The Chain, Midas Keser. The Keser, the Svardim, the Nusach Svard on Shabbos, by Kedusha, what do they say? Keser Yitnu L'cha. That's the only time during the week they use the word Keser. Ashkenazim don't say it ever. But they say Keser on Shabbos. Because on Shabbos, through Onek Shabbos, a person uses his Shabbos properly, he can reach the Keser, the highest level of Kedusha al Yoyna. The Kores, Lehepuch. Muchras, it's cut off. Chorus means chas v'shalom. If a person does certain averis, 36 different averis, which we will speak about, then a person gets cut off from kol ha-kedushas, all holiness. Now says the Chasam Sofer, the im nismach bovel Yerushalayim without a yud, if we'll put together these two words, the word bovel, which by gematria is 34, the word Yerushalayim, which is gematria 586, 586 and 34 equals 620. 620 is Tuf Reish Chaf, or Kores, or Keser. If you put together Bavel and Yerushalayim, you can either go to the heights, Keser, or you can go to the pits of Kores. Now, listen how the Chasam Sofer learns that same pasuk that we had before from Yechezkel. Lachain Amar Hashem. Hashem says, Ben Adam, Ksav l'cho eshem hayom es etzem hayom azeh. So the Chasam Sofer learns, you know what shem hayom and etzem hayom mean? It means yud b'toich yud. The name of the day and the very day, that's a 10 within a 10. What did Melech Bavel do on that day? Samach Melech Bavel el Yerushalayim. Now it shouldn't say el Yerushalayim, it should say es Yerushalayim. He surrounded Yerushalayim. Here it says El means he came to Yerushalayim. What does that mean? So the Chasam Sofer learns it means take the two words of Bavel and put it next to the word Yerushalayim. And what will you get? You'll get 620. So Ein L'mayla Mikeser Ve'ein L'mata Mikores. Shehu Asmichas Beis Tevis Bavel Yerushalayim. Lachain Roy Yoim Zeh Litchoyz Oynik Shabbos. Ki kemoi she'ein l'mayla mi'oynik, kein ein l'mata mi'nega. Unekudas yoyim zehu madrega ha'hepach mi'kedusha Shabbos. She'god lo ad l'mayla. And then the Chasam Sofer says, v'yefsher l'farish zeh yoyser. I can't explain this anymore. So the Chasam Sofer says, what was our question of Avudram? We're trying to understand. Why does Asorah B'Tavis, if it would come out on Shabbos, bidocha Shabbos? Because again, we're talking about a tension here, a fight between powers of good and powers of evil. So just like the only day of the year where the din could be that the Beis Hamikdash should be destroyed is on the 10th day of the 10th month of Asorah B'Tavis, and that goes against the 10 within the 10 of Yerushalayim that we spoke, of Yaakov, Aser Aseren Ulach. So too, what can go against the oneg, which is the keser, which is the highest level of kedusha? The only thing that can go against that is nega, is the opposite of oneg, which is kares, which is that the person, chas v'shalom, will be cut off from kedusha. So that's why, if you're celebrating Asara B'Tavis, which is the destruction, which is the surrounding of the wall of Yerushalayim, so that can even affect the oneg of Shabbos. This is how the Chasam Sofer explains this idea. So now Rav Schlesinger is going to try to understand what the Chasam Sofer is saying. So first of all, he brought from in Parshas Vayechi, which was last week's Parsha, it says that they made a hesped on Yaakov for 7 days. And where did they make the hesped? In a place called Goren Ha'atud. Goren Ha'atud it was a place which was surrounded. Atud normally means thorns. Rashi says that they checked, the Chazal checked all over Tanakh. There's no place we know with the name Goren Ha'atud. What does it mean? It means that the kings of Canaan and the heads of Yishmael and Bnei Keturah, they came for war. And they wanted to fight Yosef and all the Mitzrim who had come from Mitzrayim with the Aron of Yaakov. But when they saw the crown of Yosef that was on the Aron of Yaakov, they all took off their crowns and they put it, that was the surrounding. Surrounding the Aron of Yaakov was the crowns. How many crowns? 36 crowns. So there is a question here, which kings? It was Knanim, Bnei Keturah, Yishmael. Bottom line, there were 35 kings, and one was Yosef, his crown. You have 36. So the Sefer Keren Ora in Masech Tesot explains why specifically the number 36. So again, you remember that Chasam Sofer said, what's the opposite of a crown? The opposite is kares. There are 36 averis in the Torah for which a person, chas v'shalom, can get kares. He can get cut off from, his soul will be cut off from Hashem. So since Chazal say that Yaakov lo meis, even though Yaakov was given a burial, but Yaakov is one of the, stayed alive. He never died. Yaakov was totally attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he didn't physically die. He's still alive, Chazal tell us. So since Yaakov came to the highest level of holiness, of Kedusha, so this 36 crowns that were around his Aron represented the opposite of the 36 kares, because Keser is the opposite of kares. It's the highest level that you can get away from the lowest level that you can get. So which person deserves to be shown that he is connected with the crowns? That is Yaakov Avinu, because Yaakov Avinu was never cut off. He never died. He remains alive. That's why the number 36 exactly was put around his aura. Now, every tinyness that we have, there's a question, are we celebrating the first Beis HaMikdash destruction or the second Beis HaMikdash destruction? So Tisha B'Av, we do both, because both were on the 9th of Av. What about Shiva Asar B'Tammuz? Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, so there's a machlokas, it's the Bavli and Yerushalmi. In the Navi, it says that the wall, what happened on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz? In the second Beis HaMikdash, we know, the wall was broken in. When was it broken in the first Beis HaMikdash? There, the Navi says, on the 9th of Tammuz. So why do we keep the 17th? It was the 9th. So according to the Yerushalmi, really, the first Beis HaMikdash was also the 17th. But they, in the trauma of war, they got so mixed up, they thought it was the 9th of Tammuz. And since they thought it, the Navi wrote the 9th. But really, it was the 17th. So therefore, it comes out, just like Tisha B'Av, we keep Tisha B'Av both for first Beis HaMikdash and second Beis HaMikdash. For Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, we also keep it for both the first and the second. However, the Bavli says, no, there was a difference, the first Beis HaMikdash or the second. The first was 9th, and the second was the 17th. So why do we keep the 17th? The answer is, what is more important to us, the first Beis HaMikdash destruction or the second Beis HaMikdash destruction? The answer is the second Beis HaMikdash. Why? Because we're living after the second. We're not living after the first. The one that affects us the most is the second. So even though the first Beis HaMikdash, the wall was broken through on the 9th of Tammuz, since the second Beis HaMikdash was the 17th of Tammuz, we keep the 17th of Tammuz. Now let's go to Asara B'Teves. Which Beis HaMikdash happened that Asara B'Teves they surrounded? That's the first Beis HaMikdash. Yecheskel was speaking about Melech Bavel, first Beis HaMikdash. Now, a very interesting question. When was the second Beis HaMikdash surrounded? It doesn't say. We don't know. I don't even know if it says in Tanakh when it was surrounded. We certainly don't keep it. So the question now is, you just told me that we have to keep the second Beis HaMikdash Shivasa B'Tamas because that's what's important to us. We don't even know when the wall was surrounded on the second Beis HaMikdash. We only know when the first Beis HaMikdash's wall was surrounded. And that's what we keep. What's going on here? So Rav Schlesinger explained the following. And here we come to his main point over here. What? No, the 9 days is equal by both. That's by both the same. But the question is, what about Asar B'Tavis? So we know it says in the Pasuk, Va'asu li migdash v'shachanti b'soicha. Make a base of migdash, make a mishkan, and I will dwell amongst them. The Al-Sheikh brings this down. It should say v'shachanti b'socho. I will dwell in the mishkan, in the base of migdash. I'll have my shechina. What does it mean b'socham? So Chazal say, b'soch kol echad v'yechad. The main mishkan is not the one we build. The main Beis HaMikdash is not the one we build in Yerushalayim. It's what we build in our hearts, that Hashem is within each and every Jew. So when we speak about the walls of Yerushalayim, it's also, the main wall is not the wall of Yerushalayim. The main wall is the wall that's in us. And where do we find that we have a wall in us? We have a pasuk. The pasuk says in Shir HaShirim, Ani Choma V'shadai Migdolos. I am a wall, and I also have Migdolos. I have, and every wall around the city, there are these watchtowers. Like you have by the old city of Yerushalayim. You have this, right when you come in there, I think it's near Shar Shechem. You have this tower where the soldiers used to look if the enemy's coming, the watchtower, right? So the Gemara has a discussion in Masechta Bava Basra, Daf Tes. Do Talmidei Chachamim have to pay taxes for paying for the guards of a city? Or do they have a clergy exemption? So the Gemara says, yes, they're exempt. You know why? Because they protect the city too. How do they protect the city? With their Torah, they protect the city. So Ani Choma, that's the Talmidei Chachamim. I'm a wall. And I have watchtowers. You know what the watchtowers are? That's the Talmidei Chachamim learning Torah in the Beis HaMedrash. But then Chazal say no. Every Jew is included in Ani Choma. And you know what the towers are for every Jew? The shuls, Batei Knesiyos, Batei Midrashos. Those are our towers. How does every Jew a wall? If you're in Torah, we understand Torah. If you learn Torah all day, you are protecting the Jewish people. That's the biggest protection for the Jewish people, Torah. But how is a regular person who's not learning Torah, how is he protecting? The answer, Rashi says, is because Godrim Atzmon Militame Ba'akum. Because every Jew is careful that he protects himself, that he doesn't get mixed up with the Goyim together. He separates himself from the Goyim. Now, who was it? Which woman was it that separated herself from the tomb of the Goyim? This was Sarah Imenu. Sarah was taken to Paro in Mitzrayim, and no avera was committed. And as a result, the women in Mitzrayim, when they came later in the Golus Mitzrayim, they didn't do any averas, even though they were in the land of the biggest corruption in Znus. Which Mitzrayim is called Erva Soaretz. It was the most tame place in the world. And yet they didn't commit any averis. Who protected them? Sarah. Because Sarah paved the way for them, she protected them. Who did it for the men? The men were not Isaac in any averis in Mitzrayim in this regard. That was Yosef. Because when Yosef came with Ashes Potiphar, He was careful not to do an avera, and that helped the men in Mitzrayim. So we are a wall, And that wall protects us from the outside bad influences. But what happened in Bayisheni? When Ezra Sofer came back from Bavel, he came back a Jewish people that had married Goyish women in Bavel. They stopped speaking Lashon HaKodesh. So they lost this wall. So Rav Schlesinger says the following idea. You know why we're not concerned about, we don't celebrate when the wall was surrounded in the second Beis HaMikdash? There was no wall. What do you mean there was no wall? There was a wall. It was broken into on Shiva Asher B'Tamitz. That's the physical wall. The main wall of the Jewish people, you could have a wall, and yet you could have the internet like we have today, and it pervades your home, and it's full of the worst. It could be, if it's not used correctly, it could bring you the worst tumah in the world with the biggest wall that you have. So the physical wall, it's nothing, is the spiritual wall. So in the first Beis HaMikdash, the Jews had this spiritual wall. What did Melech Bavel attempt? Melech Bavel, when he came to Yerushalayim and surrounded it, he was trying to pull down that spiritual wall. And unfortunately, when they went into Golos Bavel, by the time the second Beis HaMikdash came back, Ezra had to tell them, get rid of your Goyish wives. And throughout the second Beis HaMikdash, they did intermarry. So that's why there was no wall. That's why we don't know when the second Beis HaMikdash wall was surrounded, because when we're celebrating the surrounding of the wall, we mean the spiritual wall. That's what we're surrounding. So that answers that question, why we don't know anything about the second Beis HaMikdash's wall when it was surrounded. Now the Sfas Emes says, here's a very important point. Every Jew, you know, there's an expression called the Pintala Yid. Every Jew has in them a Pintala Yid. You know what that Pintala Yid is? That's the Yud B'toich Yud. That Yud within a Yud. That's the wall. Rabbi Schlesinger said the two ideas are the same. Ani Chayma, I'm a wall. I keep out the influences from the outside world. So the message of Asara B'tavis is that we have to become aware that we have, each one of us has a point in us. You can have the worst, unfortunately there are Jewish children today that are drug addicts, even the worst Jew who's done the worst things, we have to believe they have in them a Pintala Yid. That Pintala Yid is a Yud inside of a Yud. It's the holiest level of this Jew. And that is indestructible. So the Melech Bavel came on the 10th day of Tevis, 10th day of the 10th month. He tried to break that, and to a certain extent he was successful. As we said, that many Jews married Goyim, and that's why as the Jewish people collectively, there was no wall already in the second Beis HaMikdash, no spiritual wall, we just said. But at the same time, we have to believe that each person individually has within them this little point of a Jew that is indestructible. And the Sfas Emes says on Parshas Vayechi, to bring out this point, it says over there, when Yaakov was blessing his children, it says, Oisri lagefen ira. So the Sfas Emes says, every Jew has in him this Pintala Yud, which is like a grape. A grape is the only fruit that you cannot graft. You cannot graft it with another fruit. Every other fruit you can graft two fruits together. The grape you can't graft. So the Pasuk is saying, says the Sfas Emes, it's a chassidish word, it's not the simple pshat. Oisri, tie, lagefen, to that nekuda, that pintle yud, that yud b'toich yud, that holy spark that you have, ira. Ira means every his oris that you get, tie it up to that dot in of that's within you, that's indestructible, that can't be murkav, it can't be grafted, that even if the rest of you was full of the influences of the goyim, you have to believe that in you there's still a dot of a Jew that is indestructible, and any isororist that you get, you have to take it and tie it up to that dot, which I think the idea is,
Just like it says in Pirkei Avos, Kishani la'atzmi mo'ani. If my ani is just for myself, it may not neely meely. If I'm not going to worry about myself, who's for me? But kishani la'atzmi, if all I'm concerned about is myself, mo'ani. What's my ani? So the Mefarshim explained, you have to be concerned for your wife. You have to be concerned for your family. You have to be concerned for your shul. You have to be concerned for your neighborhood, for your city. And a gadol hador, his ani, you know what's he? His ani is the whole world. He's concerned about the whole world. Im ein ani li mi, l'kshani la'atzmi. If my ani is just squandered on myself, mo ani, what is that worth? Your ani has to expand. So I believe the same pshat over here, that every one of us has a dot inside, a pintle yud, as corrupt as chashon we might be. There's an indestructible spark within each and every Jew. The job of a Jew is, like the Sfasema says, Oisri la gefen ira, to take that dot and expand it. Make the dot within you bigger and bigger until it fills the whole person. How do you do that? By every hisaris, every time you become motivated to do something better, if you'll tie it up to that little dot, the dot will get bigger and bigger until the dot will fill the entire person. So that's what he says. Yehudi, we are all Jews. What's a Jew? A Yehudi. There's a yud in the beginning and there's a yud at the end. This is that dot, the yud betoich yud. And that's our job. That yud, that Yerushalayim couldn't be written, that second yud in Yerushalayim, it's so holy that it can't even be put on paper. That on parchment, that's the one that we have to realize we all have within ourselves, and we have to expand it and work on it and develop it. So the Avudram, we asked the question at the beginning of this year. The Avudram says that if it would come out on Shabbos, it would be Dach Shabbos. But we asked, it can't come out on Shabbos. But the idea is, when we realize that it would come out on Shabbos, it would be Docha Shabbos. You know why it can't come out on Shabbos? Because if it would come out on Shabbos, it would mean the Oneg, that high level of Oneg, would be lost. And that would represent that the little dot within us would be lost. And that it can't do. This is a fight here between the Yud, B'toich Yud of holiness versus the day of Asara B'Tevis, the 10th day of the 10th month, which Bavel came to destroy that Yud B'Toich Yud. If we would let Asara B'Tevis come out on Shabbos and take away our Oneg, yes, if it would come on that day, that would mean it would beat it. But we don't let it come on that day to show that it can't be. The only thing is that it could come out at the beginning of Shabbos, like Friday, because then the idea is that we want to take the idea of Asara B'Tevis and blend it and merge it together with the Oinig Shabbos. Then you're not letting this concept destroy Shabbos. You're blending. Then the idea is to take the spark of Yud B'Toich Yud and blend it together with the Oinig Shabbos. And this is the idea when we say that the kings put their 36 crowns around Yaakov. When you put Bavel next to Yerushalayim, what's going to happen eventually? When the Goyish kings put their crowns around Yaakov, what were they saying? They were saying, we see that Yaakov is the truth. We see that Yiddishkeit is the truth. Lost in love when Mashiach comes, all the Goyim are going to come and they're going to want to learn about Yiddishkeit from the Jews. They're going to serve the Jewish people. So when you put Bavel next to Yerushalayim, the Chasam Sofer told us, it equals 620. Those two words. It could either be kares. It could either be kares that Bavel tries to destroy Klal Yisrael, or it could be that Bavel wants to help Klal Yisrael, wants to serve Klal Yisrael, and then it becomes a keser. That's what it was represented by Yaakov. Yaakov, who never died, so kares wasn't applicable. What was applicable was the 36 ksarim, the 36 crowns. And on this, the Avudram says that we learn out from Yom Kippur. We ask the question, how does the Arbarbanam make his own Gzeirah Shavah? It says a word, Etzem HaYom HaZeh, and by Yom Kippur it says Etzem HaYom HaZeh. Here, what the Avudra means is something else. By Yom Kippur it says, Lifnei Hashem Titoru. You should become pure and Tohar in front of Hashem on Yom Kippur. How much does Titoru equal? Tough, tes, hey, resh vav, works out to 620 exactly. Keser, the crown. In other words, the Avudram is saying that if you take Asar B'Tevis the right way, and you realize that Bavel was trying to attack this holy spark of a Jew, and we don't let him attack it. We work on it and make it bigger within ourselves. We improve ourselves. Instead of getting schlepped down to Kares, we get uplifted to Keser. There, that's what it means that it's just like Yom Kippur of Etzem Hayom Hazeh, because Lifne Hashem Titaru through Asar B'Tevis merged together with Oneg, not Nega, but Oneg Shabbos, then we can reach the Madreg of Keser, which the Nusach Svar says on Shabbos, we can, if you blend them together, you don't let the Asar B'Tevis destroy the Oneg if it would come out on Shabbos. No, it's not in the calendar. Can't destroy it. But what it could do is blend together the Yud Shabbatach Yud with the Oneg of Shabbos, and then we reach the Keser, the highest level of Kedusha. And this was only a Yud Shabbat Yud of the whole Shir of Rav Schlesinger. So what a big yes, you come.